Bring the meeting to order. Can I get a roll call, please?
Kurt Alston.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio. Tim Daugherty. Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Yeah.
Robert Holtaway.
Yeah.
Bruce James.
Here.
Paul Richko.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevetich. Michael Tiefang. James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Godin.
Here.
Robert Wall.
Can you please read the Open Public Meetings Act? Can you please Open Public Meetings Act station? I'll get it there.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Can you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First order of business is approval of the minutes.
Second.
Motion to second and discussion. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio. Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman.
Yes.
Councilmember
yes.
James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich. Councilmember Tiefang. Yes. Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Brings us to the joint report. I have nothing this evening. Does anybody have anything to bring up other than the reports? See none. Ms. Nordstrom, you're up.
I just have a few items to highlight from my report. On plan conformance implementation, Oakland Borough and Bergen County has adopted their planning area petition ordinance, and it is also deemed consistent. Municipal issued exemptions, Jefferson Township, Montville Township, and Byron Township all issued exemptions this time around. We had some changes in personnel. Jim Hutzelman, who was our senior engineer for the council, resigned from his position. His last day was September 30th. We have posted advertisements for his replacement, so we're waiting to see what we get there. Kelly Curran, who you may know as one of our part-time employees, is now going to be a full-time employee, and she will be taking the slot vacated by James when he was promoted to Director of Planning and Science. And Kelly's, her work has been excellent. We've been after her to think about coming on full-time for a couple years now. So we're just excited about having her in that position. And that's going to conclude my report.
Thank you. That'll take us to our regional master plan update. I'll turn the mic over to Mr. Alston.
Good to be here with all of you today. And I think we should start with our presentation of the final fiscal impact assessment study. Steve Gonnellis is with us from Place Works out in California again. I think you all remember Steve.
Welcome, Steve.
Hi. Enjoying another nonstop flight, I hope. Interruption.
Non-stop and non-problem.
Okay. What we're going to do with this final presentation is really recap just some of the more important data points that came out of the fiscal impact analysis. Which includes the regional economic evaluation. As you'll recall, when we did that, the federal government was a couple of years behind in one of its data sources that we used. So we've since updated that, and I'll touch briefly on what we learned from that. The socioeconomic analysis and the fiscal and financial analysis, and end with looking at the recommendations for the RMP monitoring program. So there were the three phases that we went through in preparing the fiscal impact assessment. We've gone back and revised and refined some of that as we've gone along, and this is just the final portion of that, pulling all three parts together. Touch briefly, a big part of what we did was looking at the Highlands region and how it compared to some other areas. And those areas that we looked at are shown on the map here. We have the Highlands region itself. The areas in yellow are the Highlands County municipalities that aren't in the Highlands region, which is quite a mouthful, but it's an accurate description of that comparison region. When we add in the other four counties, we have the Northern New Jersey comparison region. And part of the way through this process, we had started by including the Highlands region when we talked about Northern New Jersey. And as we got about halfway through, we switched so we were not including the Highlands region in Northern New Jersey. And that's where the final report ends up. So when we talk about the Northern New Jersey comparison region, it's the two areas that are outlined in blue, to the east of the Highlands region and to the west of the Highlands region. And then, of course, we had the adjacent counties in Pennsylvania and the adjacent counties in New York. The other way we looked at the analysis geographically was to look at municipalities based on their population and employment density, so that we were comparing similar municipalities in the Highlands region to similar municipalities in these comparison regions. And this map just highlights those. So we had low, medium, and high population densities, and those are shown from soft yellow to medium yellow to dark orange. And we had low employment density, which has no dots. The medium employment density has some dots, and then the high employment density areas had the thicker dots on them. And so we aren't actually going to get into any of those specifics today, but that is how we compared similar municipalities to each other. The first phase was the regional economic evaluation. Just the little bit of national economic context that we included in the original one. Of course, we had the kind of housing market boom cycle that started in the early 2000s and went through, well, it actually started to level off in 2006. The Act, of course, was adopted in the middle of that housing boom. The national economy and every other economy went into recession in 2008 and into 2009. So part of what we're looking at is what happened in starting in 2008 with approval of the regional master plan. So that has to be understood in that context of everybody in a national recession. And then kind of the recovery coming out of that technically started in 2010, but it affected different sectors in different places at different times. For the, we used one data set, the quarterly census employment and wages, which is a very comprehensive data set of every place of employment in the state of New Jersey, but it only covers New Jersey. We don't have that data for the Pennsylvania and New York. And since it is such a complex data set, we really were only looking at the 3 years, 2004, 2008, and then 2013, which was the most recent data when we started. When we look at the total within the regions, what we see in employment is that the Highlands region had a higher rate of employment growth from 2004 to 2008. And then from 2008 to 2013, the Highlands region had slightly more job loss than the Highlands County municipalities, not in the Highlands region, but not as much job loss as that Northern New Jersey comparison. The other data set we used was the local employer household dynamics program, where the Census Bureau combines information from individuals' IRS tax returns, which has their address where they live, and combines that with the information from the quarterly census employment and wages on where people work. And that data, since it's collected nationally, is available for the comparison regions in the New York and Pennsylvania. So this just shows what, you know, the total number of jobs in each of these regions. And when we talk about, you know, what were large percentage declines in employment, you know, the total employment itself it doesn't look quite as drastic when you look at the amount of jobs that weren't lost. One of the things we see coming, findings we have coming out of this analysis, what we have here is the annual rate of change in employment across the Highlands region, and that's that red line. And when we look at all of those other comparison regions added together, that's the brown line. And everybody was growing coming out of the 2001 recession, growing really the growth. We were still growing after 2005, but it's growing less and less than the big fall off with the recession, and it bounced back. So where we were when we originally presented this, 2011 was the most recent data, so we weren't really sure what was happening with that 1 year as it started to come back down. As you can see, what happened in the Highlands region since 2011 was pretty similar to what was happening across all of those comparison regions. The first point here, in terms of the findings, the one I reiterated before, with the Highlands region having better employment growth and then kind of in the middle from 2008 to 2013. The Highlands, when we look at with the adjacent regions of Pennsylvania and New York, what we see is from 2002 to 2004 and then 2004 to 2008, the Highlands region was kind of in the middle. It didn't stand out relative to the other comparison regions. However, from 2008 to 2014, the Highlands region had lower employment performance than all of the comparison regions. The key to this, though, is when we start looking at that municipal level and what was happening in the municipalities, and especially the similar municipalities. And what we see when we look at that is really no clear trends. And some of those groups of municipalities, the Highlands region, looks a little better in terms of employment growth. Some of them it looks worse. Some of them it's in the middle. So there's no clear trend upon which to say that the Act or the RMP had a statistically significant impact relative to the municipalities and the comparison regions. However, we should note some potential limitations with the findings that we have from the first phase. One of the things is it's possible that we shouldn't expect to see an effect of the Act and the RMP on employment. And part of that is because there were so many job losses with the recession and so many vacancies created in industrial buildings and commercial buildings that with job growth, you wouldn't necessarily see that in those early years after the recession resulting in new development, which, of course, is where the Act and the RMP might have more of an impact. So going forward, if there is such an effect of the Act and the RMP, you would expect to see it as vacancies fill up and employment growth requires new development to accommodate that economic growth. And then down the road, you might see whether the Act and the RMP limited that development and you start seeing differential patterns of employment growth going forward. And just the statistics there, if you look at similar but slightly different point, from 2004, 89% of the employment in the Highlands region was in the planning area, less affected by the Act than preservation area. And if we, at that time, 70% of the employment was in what are currently non-conforming planning areas. So once again, most of the jobs we're looking at are in areas with little to no impact from the Act or the RMP. So that's another reason we might not have seen an effect of the Act or the RMP in terms of changes in employment over the time period. On the socioeconomic and real estate analysis, one of the changes I've kind of made in this chart is to put a big black dot showing where the high point of residential construction, the number of units authorized by building permit. So we see in 2000 was the high point for both the Highlands region and the Highlands County municipalities not in the Highlands region. 2002 for New York, 2003 in Pennsylvania, and then 2005 for northern New Jersey. Now, the data we have that is cross-state is only through 2014. We do know since then northern New Jersey has actually exceeded that pre-recession high in terms of residential construction. The other key thing is most of what we've seen in the residential construction trends is really tied to this shift from single-family housing to multifamily housing. So if you look at the Highlands region, 1998 was the peak in terms of single-family construction. And it was declining ever since then, leveled off after the recession with some slight uptick most recently. And you have a similar trend in the Highlands County municipalities, not in the Highlands region, peaked a little bit later, but has been declining since 2000 with a little bit bigger of a bump up since the end of the recession. And then we have what's happening in northern New Jersey, and that really shows better when we look here at the solid line, which is the number of multifamily housing units constructed, and the dashed line, which is single families. You see the dashed line from the mid-90s through about 2005, there wasn't a lot of change in the number of single family units being constructed. The fall off that led into the recession and through the recession, and just somewhat of an uptick in single family construction since the recession. But the big difference has been the multifamily housing development, which was, we had 1 year with the decline, but really since the early 90s was growing until the housing market leveled off and dropped precipitously with the recession. And the multifamily market has really bounced back significantly since the recession in a way that the single family market hasn't in the years. Then this is the map that we showed in the phase two presentation, just kind of showing the multifamily housing projects in 2013 and the first part of 2014. The size of the individual projects and where they're located. So when we're talking about the multifamily market in northern New Jersey, it's really the easternmost parts of northern New Jersey we're talking about, with that multifamily market really didn't hit the area west of the Highlands region, and mostly did not hit the Highlands region either. These are the findings from the building permit analysis, and I think I've already hit all of these. You know, the key point just being that the multifamily market hasn't really materialized in the Highlands region as much as it has the areas east of here. When we looked at kind of the demographic trends of what are happening, and we look at these less about is the Act and the RMP affecting demographic trends, and more from the standpoint of these demographic trends, which really influence kind of the housing market and what developers can build. You know, where's the growth? What are they responding to? And for a lot of the socioeconomic characteristics, what's happening in the Highlands region is similar to what's happening in all of the comparison regions, where there is a statistically significant difference has been that the Highlands region is getting older faster, fewer children, and households are getting smaller. Then when we look at the real estate sales and values, and we look at the period from 2000 to 2004, the solid line here represents the average, the middle point, in all three regions, and the shaded area is showing us that confidence interval. Statistically speaking, what we can say with confidence is what's happening in this region is somewhere in this shaded area. And so, you know, in 2000-2004, the Highlands region had a slightly lower average annual change in the sales values for single-family housing relative to the two other regions in New Jersey. But statistically, that difference isn't significant. When we look at 2004 to 2008, the Highlands region is still somewhat below the two comparison regions, but statistically the difference isn't significant. And once again, when we look at 2008 to 2013, it's lower, but the difference isn't statistically significant. The other key thing we looked at when we were looking at all of the property sales and the average values was the change in per acre cost of vacant land. And so when we look at the 2004 to 2008 period, the Highlands region had an average sales value that increased more rapidly than the other two regions, but that difference isn't statistically significant. When we look at 2008 to 2013, it's lower, not statistically significant. But one of the things we do find in looking at the data is the average sales values are diverging. And so over time, going forward, that might, at some point, if it continues to diverge, you would see a statistically significant difference. So that's one of the things that's recommended that you monitor going forward. We can't make a conclusive finding now, but you may see that show up a few years down the road. And I think I've kind of said all that already. Once again, there are some limitations in terms of what we're able to analyze. So part of it is just in terms of the data that's limited by geographic detail. And that's important, especially when we try to understand what's the difference between the preservation in the area and the planning area. And it's very difficult to get sales data out of the assessing records where you can divide that. It's the same thing on building permits. The state just last year, I think it was, switched to a digital reporting format with all of those building permits. So going forward, that's something you will be able to track and understand better what's happening within the region in a way we weren't able to do at this point with the FIA. The other one is, what we're looking at in all of the FIA is really trying to take everything and understand what's happening across everything. And when we do that, we aren't seeing statistically significant differences in sales value. One of the things that was pointed out in the peer review study was that you could do what statisticians call a hedonistic analysis, where instead of looking at everything, you do a sample of sales, and you really try and isolate a lot of variables that go into that, which could be the quality of the school district, proximity to shopping, proximity to transit, all of those things. And when you're looking at much fewer individual sales, you can better isolate and then say, well, is there a difference if you're in the Highlands region or you're not in the Highlands region? And we didn't set out from the beginning to do that, but that's something if you still want to know some of those answers, you could look at doing in the future. The final part was the fiscal and financial analysis. And here we looked at three things. One is equalized property value. Just to remind everybody, that's a process that goes through every year to take the assessed value and try and convert that into the market value based on the properties that sold in the previous year and the differences between what they sold for and their assessed value. That doesn't affect the taxes that any individual property owner is paying. It does affect how counties allocate the responsibility for paying property taxes to different municipalities. But that what that tells you is that's kind of the best estimate we have for the market value of properties in the Highlands region and the comparison regions. We looked at the assessed value of real property, and that is what taxes are based on. So any individual property owner is paying a tax rate applied to their assessed valuation. And we looked at the property tax revenues, which is what the funds that come in to pay, that municipalities use to pay for their public facilities and services. And so when we look at equalized value, I have one screen here with the Highlands County municipalities, not Highlands region, another with Northern New Jersey. there are just a few slight differences. But when we look prior to the Act, the average annual rate of change to equalized value was higher than the other municipalities. And there's no overlap between the shaded areas. That difference is statistically significant. When we come down to 2004 to 2008, and the graphic may not be quite clear here, there's actually not an over, there is an overlap ever so slight. So even though the Highlands region was lower, that difference isn't statistically significant. But when we come down to what's happened since 2008, there is a statistically significant difference in that the Highlands region municipalities had a higher rate of decline in equalized value over that time period. When we look at northern New Jersey, the Highlands region was lower here, not statistically significant. But when we look at 2004 to 2008 and 2008 to 2015, the Highlands region was lower than northern New Jersey in terms of the average annual change in equalized value, and the difference is statistically significant. I guess I should have thought of this when I was practicing. I had bullet points to summarize the findings, but I've said them all on all of these as we go through, so I won't read through that. But you know, the takeaway is this is the one area where we really do see statistically significant differences that correspond with the dates when the Act was adopted and the RFP was approved. With assessed value, we didn't see a statistically significant difference there. And after looking at some things, after we presented that and in discussion with the Rutgers report, it's really a weak measure to use. It just has challenges with assessed value because those don't change until there's construction unless there's a reassessment that goes on. And when there is, we don't have good records of the percent change when it was reassessed. It was what happened through new construction, what was the percentage change to everything else. So you can't really compare before and after. And that's a weakness unless you or the state starts monitoring that change when each of those happen. You can't really use assessed valuation to draw any firm conclusions from. When we looked at the municipal property tax revenues, you know, what we found was that there wasn't a statistically significant difference over these time periods that we were looking at. So the limitations there, one is we didn't look at expenditures. And so there's a big state-managed process to look at the revenues that municipalities will have. They're all reporting it on similar forms. It's very easy to compare that data. We had some difficulties in terms of expenditures that we didn't have the same detailed, consistent data going back across all these time periods to draw from. The state now has a new budget format that all municipalities are using, so that the expenditures will be tracked similarly. So going forward, it's something that can be added to future efforts under the RMP monitoring program. And then I just discussed the challenge with assessed valuation. So coming out of this, the recommendations in terms of what you look at going forward with the RMP monitoring program and come back to in future times, from the economic evaluation, some of the key things to look at are those changes in total employment. What happens with construction employment? Because as you recall, we did see in the preservation area a larger decrease in construction employment than we saw in other comparison regions. And the question will be, what happens with that going forward? Was it just harder hit and bounces back? Or is this something that stays structurally, remains lower relative to these comparison regions? And then looking at some of the key sectors that are active in the Highlands region, such as tourism, pharmaceuticals, and agriculture. From the socioeconomic and real estate analysis, some of the key things to monitor going forward would be the building permits and construction completions, and especially that balance between single-family housing and multifamily housing. So there are questions about the degree to which the Highlands region wants or can be a more active player in what's happening with multifamily development. But there would also be the question in terms of single family. Does that have a bounce back in northern New Jersey in those comparison regions? And going forward, does that bounce back? And do you get a similar bounce back in the Highlands region, or is there a difference there going forward? Those demographic shifts, because that, once again, influences what developers can build, you know, who they can build housing for. So that's important to keep track of going forward also. Of all the different properties, you know, residential sales values and those vacant land sales values are two that you would want to come back to in the future to see whether there's a divergence there or just the Highlands region just slower coming back, but does indeed come back. And then from the real estate and financial analysis, really the one thing there to monitor going forward will be the equalized property. That's it in a nutshell.
We're going to open up briefly for questions from council members. Just wanted to remind you, if you don't know, there's a couple council members who have some pretty tight time scheduled deadlines tonight. There's a number of other things on the agenda that we need 8 votes for, and they may be tight on a quorum later on. So some general questions now. If there's something more specific, Steve's going to be here after the meeting. You can catch him afterwards as well. Full document being released. What is the answer to that question?
December. So we hope to have that in time for the December meeting.
Couldn't hear the question.
I'm sorry?
I couldn't hear the question.
The question was, when will the completed full document be released? And the answer is before the December meeting.
Yes. One of the things we talked about quite a bit during the committee meetings relative to the indicators was tax per capita as an indication of the mix of employment versus residential burden, and that didn't seem to make it into the summary, and I was wondering, because we all agreed on that. And we had taken out some others, as you recall, and we added that one. And you find that laying on the floor and put it back in, or we address it back to the committee if you think it's invalid, so we can discuss it some more.
Looks like Corey has something.
Thanks, Kirk. So there's actually another section to the fiscal impact assessment that isn't here yet, and that's the municipal fact book. And so we're including that statistic in the municipal fact book
rather than as an indicator.
It's an indicator in these. There'll be tear sheets for all 88 municipalities plus the 7 counties and the region.
And the schedule for that is?
December
as well.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mike. I understand the regional aspect of it, but personally, I'd like to see more data or more analysis that directly affected preservation, because you briefly touched on it a couple of times, and that's a good thing, but I don't think it went far enough to really show. I mean, I don't know what criteria you use to establish the Highlands region as such, but a region is a very large, broad stroke. The preservation, I think, is the area that most significantly affected by the Act. The Act really didn't do much except second-handed for the region, so as I see it, this is a good first step. But I think as you boil the data down further, we should really show how it affected jobs in preservation and the tax income to municipalities in preservation. If you have municipalities that are all in preservation, you have some half, you have some 30%. And the building permits in preservation, if you break that out separately, you're going to find that they're much lower. You're not going to find multifamily in the preservation area. That's what I would like to see as we move, if we go further with this. We really need to see how the Act itself, that established preservation by meets and bounds. I mean, in the Act, it meets and bounds. It's not a broad brush stroke. It's very specific. And so when we do financial analysis like this, I think we should be as specific.
Yeah, so especially on the building permits, you know, we really had this challenge with the building permits and the assessing data. because the computer mapping that takes a parcel number and says, this is where that parcel is, and which side of the line is it on, we only have 1 year that we have that computer map. We have all those data points. So we can do that for the region because it's a municipality in a region, municipalities either in or out. But the state has changed last year, I think, where they're doing that digitally with the building permits. So it should be easier going forward to look at that in a way we weren't able to do because the data just wasn't there.
I would have a really good map that could show you differentiation where preservation
is. It is, but once again, it doesn't help us when we look at what things were in 2000.
Right. But you get my point. Yeah. You know, regional is a nice broad brush and that's a start, but our affected property owners are not in the region. They're in a specific preservation area. They're the ones that are really affected by the act as such.
Yes. Just one last comment. We have discussed large lots previously, and this analysis takes the lots from 0.15 acres up, and I think that more attention has to be paid to the large lot, and I believe that that's being done just so that everybody understands that there are unique conditions with large lots and loss of subdivision and everything else that's not really shown in here.
Yeah, and that's, once again, that's that challenge with the large lots of not having enough sales each year across the region to really say, you know, here's a difference or here's not a difference. When you include the smaller ones, you do have more sales. You do have enough observations where you can say, look, these things are going in different directions, not statistically significant difference yet. But if they keep going, you'll have that difference. And the hope would be, and we'll discuss that in the report, the large lots, that as the economy continues to come back, you'll start to have enough sales there that in the future you'll be able to look at it and say, okay, now we have enough, we can look at it and say, yeah, there is a difference, or no, there isn't.
Jim, do you have something?
The one area I'm concerned about, when we talk about the comparisons between northern New Jersey and the Highlands region. Highlands region, we should be talking about land. When you talk about northern New Jersey, you've got areas like Hoboken, Jersey City, who have been some of the, has been some of the prime real estate in the country over the last 20 years with the Gold Coast down there. It's vastly different than anything you're going to find in New Jersey, never mind the rest of this country. And I think that, you know, that may have been skewed a bit, analyses have been done.
Yeah, so just, I didn't touch on it when we went through this, but one of the things we did from the beginning when we talked about northern New Jersey, we took out a couple dozen, I think, municipalities that were very, very high population density and or very high employment density because they didn't correspond. So some of those right along the Gold Coast aren't included in that. And then the other thing is, you know, a lot of these, when you look at the individual pieces, you have single family housing sales, which of course they're also going to probably have a higher average value, whereas a lot of the market of what's happened was the multifamily. We weren't really looking at multifamily.
Can you get us a list of towns that we utilize to prepare from the North Jersey?
Yeah. It's been in the report, and it may have. We may have had that bullet point list in the very first presentation.
We know that we're dealing with apples and oranges or apples and oranges.
Steve, can you just expand for a moment briefly on one of the challenges we have with these larger parcels? I believe it was that there's not a lot of transactions and there's a huge variance in the prices that are paid over the spread of the region. What we can do to overcome that in future analysis, if anything.
What you could do would be to approach it as we suggested would be an alternative on the single family housing sales too, which is you do in effect a survey instead of trying to compare all of them, and you do that, once again, that same hedonistic style of analysis where you randomly select, you know, half dozen large parcels that sold in the northern part of the Highlands region, the southern part of the Highlands region, some of those other areas. And when you're dealing with 20, 40, 50 individual sales, you can then start to isolate a lot of other factors that go into it. So is it land that would have an agricultural value that maybe that sale represents somebody buying it to continue an agricultural use versus a development use? How far is it from water and sewer, which is a terribly big issue because kind of even in the single family market right now, where the market is smaller lot subdivisions that aren't going to be big enough for septic systems. So how far is that parcel from water and sewer? Because it may not be developable for that reason. Once again, schools, all of those other things that go into it, but when you narrow it down to a selection of the properties that sold, you can then start to account for a lot of other different factors that may influence that value and statistically control for those. So you can say, okay, well, we've controlled for water and sewer availability, we controlled for the quality of the school district, all of these other things. Any other change in value, we're attributing to it's in the preservation area, it's in the region, or it's not in the region. And then you can get a better answer to that. But other than that, you're kind of stuck waiting till there are enough sales picking up that you can compare just all of the sales.
Well, I was going to ask, when does the lack of a sale become an indicator?
Yeah.
Right? Because there are... It suggested that there's people holding on to tracts that perhaps would have sold them, but because of the impact of the Highlands Act, there's not a market where the only market is for agricultural use, but that market's limited because there aren't farmers seeking to buy additional land, especially now that the grain prices are depressed again and dairy is in the tank as well. So when does that itself become an indicator?
When you start seeing those kind of sales outside of the Highlands region that aren't occurring in the Highlands region, so maybe you're just looking at the Highlands County municipalities that aren't in the Highlands region, once again, to do that, you want to be cognizant of, is it those areas on the western side of the Highlands region or the eastern side where you're getting those sales, and are they getting sales and there's water and sewer available where what potentially could be sold in the Highlands region doesn't have that. But until there are sales going on outside of the region but near to it, it's the same situation going on. And I don't know. I haven't looked at that for the most recent year, so I can't say that there are not those sales going on. But that would be the one thing. If it's happening elsewhere and not happening in the region, then it's something you really do want to look at.
Other questions?
Will the full report be coming out in December? And that's
what, really 700 pages of it?
Really sink your teeth into it.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. The RMP.
I think we wanted to just...
One thing. This, right? This won't take long. You get advanced? There we go. Okay. So, what we wanted to do now is just kind of set the stage a little bit for the December meeting. And... what we're going to talk about. So we're up to the stage where we're starting to think about how do you actually amend the regional master plan? What should the process be? And there are challenges with that because there's very little direction given in the Act and the regional master plan on how to do that. This is what we know. The Highlands Act states that the regional master plan shall be periodically revised and updated at least once every 6 years after public hearings. The Highlands Act and the Regional Master Plan anticipate that potential updates or revisions to the Regional Master Plan will arise principally out of the 6-year reexamination process mandated by the Highlands Act. The Highlands Act provides that amendments to the Regional Master Plan may be adopted only after public hearings, and we're taking that to mean the same process that's described in the Act, namely 5 hearings in the Highlands and 1 in Trenton. That's basically what we have. What we have here is basically, this is as basic as it gets. It doesn't look like much, but I have to tell you that we spent a lot of time trying to put this together. It's a flow chart that illustrates what John is going to be describing in a document that you will have for the December meeting, which I think will be the focus of most of our discussion at that time. So I'll kind of explain to you what's going on here. We asked ourselves the question, how do we structure getting recommendations for amending the regional master plan? Obviously, we want to provide an avenue for the Highlands Council to make recommendations, but we also want to fold the public into the process in the most effective manner possible. For this process, our main guidance document will be the Master Plan Recommendation Report, which will be developed as part of the Regional Master Plan Monitoring Program that we all just talked about, which occurs once every 6 years. Now, I'm not a technical person, okay? I'm going to try not to shoot down jets or anything. But you can see right here, that's the monitoring report, okay? And we have below at Highlands Council Public and Highlands Council staff, they would take the monitoring report and we would use that as the basis to structure recommendations for amendment. And you guys jump in if I go astray. Regional Master Plan Monitoring Recommendation Report is the place where the public and the Highlands Council can add their own recommendations for the Regional Master Plan, as well as submit opinions on the recommendations that are being proposed in the report. There is a public comment period involved with the monitoring report. At the end of the public comment period, staff will finalize a response to comments document, which becomes part of the recommendation report, which is then adopted by you guys as basically a work plan. And that would happen right here at this first little orange arrow between recommendations for amendment and RMP amendment committee. Okay, so far so good? Okay, recommendation report, get comments on recommendations, we coalesce it, we synthesize it, we give it to you guys for approval, you adopt that report, that becomes our work plan. Okay? So, the next step is that the RMP recommendation report and public comment document would go to what we would be calling the RMP Amendment Committee. And what we're envisioning here is that it would be a revamped RMP Update Committee with additional members, a somewhat larger group than we have in place now. Its job would be to translate recommendations into proposed amendments, basically a drafting of actual amendments to the Regional Master Plan, and to report out to the Highlands Council. We will point out that we are recommending that any meeting of the committee at which action is taken to consider a proposed Regional Master Plan amendment be open to the public to maximize the transparency of the process. Okay. So, once the Highlands, the Regional Amendment Committee looks at the work plan, translate recommendations into actual amendment language, which means, you know, what does this translate to in terms of language in the regional master plan or the technical course or whatever, it goes to the full Highlands Council. You then receive whatever draft amendments are being proposed and you evaluate what action to take regarding it. You have four possible actions up there. You could refer the draft amendment back to staff for additional research. You could authorize further research as part of the science and research agenda. You could authorize no action. Or you could recommend to proceed with a 5+1 public hearing process that I mentioned earlier to begin the amendment adoption process. So once this goes out to the 5+1 hearings, at the end of that, we will have a public comment thing that we will present to you. If you want to make changes to the amendment at that time, you may do so. If not, you can vote on it and it will become an amendment. So, that's the process, roughly, but you can see how we think it might flow effectively. Obviously, there's still a lot to be fleshed out, but this, I think, is where we want to start with it. Okay. Yes, no, I see nodding. That's good.
Sure.
Okay. But we'll get you that document that John's working on. You'll be able to see how that fits into this structure. and then we will, or you will, decide what you think is the best way to proceed. I don't expect that this will be done in one meeting. It's really about as important a thing as we can do. But I'm hoping that you will be ready to whatever changes we make to John's document, because that'll be the actual thing that we would have to take into the five hearings plus one in Trenton process. We have to get that through before you can actually use it as a process for this agency. I will tell you that we also have other documents that you will see that are our own guidance documents that we have been advised by the DAGs that we should also take through a 5+1 process, like the redevelopment guidelines, which we have amended, and you'll be seeing those too. So there's a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline, so be prepared.
Thank you.
Okay.
That concludes our report. Just to add to what Margaret said, this is a brand new process because the last time we adopted an entire plan, we've never amended a plan, which is why we need to create these procedures. So it's quite a task, even before we can consider the indicators to conclude if there's amendments necessary or not. Thank you. Thank you for all your work. Steve, thanks for flying out.
Thank you. We'll move on. At this point, we'll move to the landowner equity and land preservation. And I'll turn the mic over to Mr. Wall.
All right. Good evening, everyone. The landowner equity and land preservation committee has been very, very busy, very, very active, and very, very cooperative, despite our political differences, geographic differences, ideological differences. We come together on two important things we wish to move forward with tonight. The first one is we have received a more applications for credits than we could possibly fund. This council approved preliminarily $9 million of the $18 million PSEG settlement money to be used to purchase credits and open space acquisition through the open space program. We also received a litany of open space applications far in excess of what we had budgeted for. The staff has not yet gone through the open space applications thoroughly enough to make a recommendation to acquire some or not acquire some. Given the fact that we have more than $9 million worth of credit applications, the committee is recommending to the full council that we spend the full $9 million that the council has originally allocated for those credit purchases. The reasoning is because these are people who have just had enough. They have waited and waited and waited and are now asking to get some level of compensation for their property. It preserves the land that they are they own in exchange for the credit price, and we feel that that's our main function as a committee is to try to compensate these landowners as best we can, as quickly as we can. So our recommendation again is to approve the full $9 million that we've already approved for credit purchases. The credit purchases will be based upon the same environmental factors we use to evaluate these properties. So the more environmentally sensitive it is, the greater its proximity to the PCG line, the higher they are up on the pecking order. It is strictly done by staff. It is the same scientific analysis that they've used to assess the environmental sensitivity of these properties in the past. We thought that was a tried and true system. So that's what we've led our process to. So that's our first request. We would then follow that up with remaining approximately $9 million of PSEG money. We'd like to allocate another portion of that money to fund both open space projects, once staff has gone through those, and also buy some more credits. We will not be able to buy everything that's been applied and requested of us because we don't have the money. But we are continuing to work on other avenues towards that, which will be the second item I'll discuss tonight, but also some federal opportunities and still trying to get the state to come up with some money for themselves. So I will move that we approve purchasing $9 million worth of credits, as the council already allocated $9 million prior.
Does it have to be in the form of a resolution, or can I take it as a...
I think the funds have been approved, so the allocation is appropriate.
We have a second. Any council discussion?
Yes, sir.
Second, yeah. Any council discussion?
Question. So when the evaluation is done in terms of value, the proximity to the PSEG line is the priority that's being used to sift through them?
Is a priority. Now, if you've got a property that is right next to the line but has zero environmental sensitivity, it may fall lower on the list than a property that has high environmental sensitivity but might be further away. So, yes, the proximity to the line is a part of this process, but it's not the be-all and end-all.
Okay, yeah, my concern is that it is required that these funds are mitigation funds and that they be used really to mitigate the environmental damages associated with the line. So, are you confident as a staff in the process that she's been using that you're applying that that matrix?
All in the preliminary reviews, all of the properties that are within the buffer of the right-of-way are proposed to be funded through this $9 million. So yes, it's effectively addressing the mitigation component of the comprehensive mitigation plan.
So these funds will be used for those properties?
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please. Motion by Mr. Walton.
Mr. Walton.
Second by Mr. Boach.
Councilmember Alstead.
You've got public comment.
Not on this. Previously, we had voted to, it's not listed here.
It's not the resolution. It's simply buying $9 million worth of credits. So the motion before us tonight is to put $9 million in the pot as a farmland purse.
So previously the council has approved these funds, so that's when the opportunity and the public had an opportunity to comment at this time. All they're doing now is making a recommendation. Just to be clear, the actual properties that will be purchased will be selected by the HDC bank. That action will be taken by that body. So it's just simply a motion for a recommendation that the full $9 million be allocated to HDC credits. And as a motion from the floor, it's not subject to...
I believe the ATA does require public comment before those matters.
I don't agree.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yeah.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes.
So at the bank meeting in November.
November 3rd, 2 weeks from today.
We expect to approve the list of properties and approve the awarding of real checks through folks who have been waiting for this money. We will not have the list of those folks who are getting money or not. That will be, I guess, on the agenda for the meeting of the 3rd to see that list. So if you came here tonight looking for your check, looking for a time you might get your check, this is the time table, November 3rd. This will be on the agenda, as well as the list of properties. And if you made the list, congratulations, you haven't. Don't give up hope. There'll be a second round of credit purchases following that. Next up is a resolution that everyone has a copy in their packet and they received via email just days prior to the meeting. This resolution represents the accumulation of our about a year of work on trying to determine what would be a fair compensation model to recommend to the legislature to pass and assign as a law. A couple of reasons for this. One is at the time of the passage of the act, it was promised to landowners in the region that they would be compensated. There was a general recognition that while this may not be the verdict of oil taking, it is in the spirit of a taking, and there should be some compensation. And this was widely supported by the sponsors of the act, by folks who voted for the act, and it was promised to come back to fix it. And that's not yet happened. The TDR program has issues. It's not funded at this time. We've seen repeated efforts by this, repeated state laws with increased funding for open space, but never have they allocated that money specifically to landowner compensation in the Highlands region. Furthermore, when folks pay their water bill, what they're paying is the cost to take the water from point A to point B, whether it's from Spruce Run Reservoir or another lake, and pipe it to their faucets. What that cost does not capture is the cost to preserve the land, to keep the water clean before it gets into that pipe. So we felt that the best way and the fairest way to compensate landowners was a water fee that tries to begin to capture that cost of keeping that land clean and that water pristine. So we've decided to create and recommend a water fee. We wanted the water fee to be rather de minimis to a residential bill. We also wanted it not to be assessed on the homeowner, but on the water purveyor. on the water utility. We understand that may need to get passed along to the consumer at some point, but that's not for us to decide. That's someone else's choice. We also wanted it to expire. We did not want a tax or a fee that would live in perpetuity. Once we reach our funding goal, it ends. So this has a 10-year expiration to it as well. It does not reach the full dollar value that most landowners believe is the full value of the harm done to them by the act. It is an approximation. And like everything else in life, as much as we'd like to do the full amount, there are some compromises that need to be made in order to leave several ends. One of those ends being not to overcharge folks unfairly, not to create a burden on homeowners and residential water users and commercial water users in the region, but also to create some sort of a fund that would begin to, as much as we fairly can, compensate landowners. So this resolution largely captures that. You look at the total amount of water that is taken out of the region, out of the Highlands region, it goes some inside, some outside. We assess a fee per 100 gallons of water. That generates a source of revenue that would be allocated to landowners by some system devised by the state. Whether that would be through the Highlands Council, whether that be through the Highlands Bank, whether that would be through the Department of the Treasury, we leave that sort of up in the air of the legislature. We are cognizant that we cannot wave a magic wand and make this happen, that we are making a recommendation to the legislature. This may not fall in deaf ears, but we felt we had to give it our best faith effort to make a recommendation based upon our time here at the council to capture what we believe is fair and just to the landowners who we see every month here in Chester. It is not perfect. It does not go as far as I would like it to, but it's a very good effort in my mind, and I think a very fair effort. And you know, we're trying to get full support for this. One of the things that has surprised me about this diverse group of members, liberals and conservatives, Democrats and Republicans, is our time here, we've all come to the conclusion, I believe all of us, that the folks that sit on the left side of the room, my left, their right, are due money. They were harmed. And that the act doesn't, they have intended to do that, but has not yet done it. And this is our recommendation to fix that fault. So with that, I will move the resolution.
Second. Motion and a second.
This is happy to entertain questions on it.
Sure. Yeah, I want to thank the committee. It was a lot of pushing and shoving, but I think at the end of the day, we all agreed, as you just pointed out quite well, we all realized that property owners needed to be reimbursed. And this is a step in the right direction. And hopefully the legislature will take to it.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might, I'd be remiss if I didn't convey a sincere thank you to Highland staff. An awful lot of work went into generating this particular document. There was an awful lot of thought at the committee meetings, and without full cooperation of the staff and our subcommittee, we wouldn't have this piece of paper. So, again, thank you all.
Mr. Chairman?
You know, I took a look at this, and I strongly support the water use tax, and I did some calculations, and based on the 136 million gallons and the tenth of a cent, that generates $136 million a year, which over the life of the thing is $1.3 billion. And compared to $2 billion plus that we think really is the justification, I'm wondering if we shouldn't just ask a little more. Two reasons. Number one, you can only go to the well once. The legislature will pass it, or they won't. And number two, by the time they get done negotiating over it, you're going to lose half of it to PIMP, just the way the system works. And the $1.3 billion over 10 years doesn't take into account inflation. And also, my opinion is that this water fee should also support the Highlands Council's operations. When you get right down to the nitty-gritty, because who's it for? It's for those users. They're the ones that actually get the benefit of everything that the council does. So I think that the tenth of a cent might be lighter than I would prefer to say now, I'm on well water, so I'm not quite sure what the average resident pays per gallon and what percentage of the average bill in New Jersey this is. But again, I understand the idea. You don't want to knock them into the middle of next week with doubling their water bill or something.
It comes out to about $6 a month, roughly.
I think that's somewhere that, oh, I guess it's the part of, sure. All fair points, sir. One thing is, even though the figure is around $2 billion, several folks will be out of the mix because they will be taking these credit purchases. Mm-hmm. They reserve no land as open space. They sold this from their reservation. So the number will come down. Also, the compensation is not for the value in 10 years when this is expiring, theoretically speaking, but at the time of the act. So for inflation, I think, is out of it because we're not looking for the inflated value, we're looking at the value at the time of the act. What was the loss when the act passed? How much did they lose then? That's, I think, the number we're looking at. And not everybody's going to take it. Some folks will not accept a credit purchase. And we also think that we have to balance that against what's fair to our residents to pay. As to playing a negotiation game with the legislature, you're absolutely right. They'll probably cut it in half or do something less, but we thought we'd better be straight and honest than try to gild the lily and have it cut. So this is our honest ask.
And we're hoping that
they should double it, so because you know they're going to take it away.
Well, we're hoping that they'll do their due diligence in doing something like this and try to verify that.
We're hoping they do something.
Correct.
We have to move something forward.
Well, the only other issue that I see is where else can you get funding from? There's no other source.
And the other concern we had is,
this is the one trip to the well, Jan.
The other concern, we're not looking at this to be a tax in perpetuity, as you suggested, that this would be funding the Highlands Council. And that's part of the problem with Trenton, is not that they just don't give you the full amount. But also, once you create a fee, it lives forever.
Yeah, right.
And it doesn't necessarily go to what it's supposed to. And we are complete with examples, from 911 fee to other open space fees, where it's supposed to go to X and it goes to Y. And our hope is to prevent that. But not
Jim.
That's
Jim.
Yes, sir.
In the regard to Bob's comments, we thought about everything. And what we want, if this resolution passed in this body tonight, and that was the end of it, we could do what we wanted. And we could up the amount on the water usage. But that's not the end in view. We've got to go to the legislature, we've got to go to the governor. Right. And anytime you push a user fee, tax, whatever you want to call it, you've got a tough road to hoe. We felt that this would give the property owners a good amount of money, a fair amount of money, and it had the best shot getting through the legislature. We could go pie in the sky, send it down, and they're going to say, these guys kidding. But this is where everybody concerned gets what they need. The property owners get what they need. Legislature gets what they need, we get what we need, and everybody comes out ahead.
Thank you.
That was the art of compromise.
Ms. Scarlucci.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple things. Some of the language here, I think, is problematic, and I'd just like to go through it. First of all, water is not necessarily taken out of the region. A lot of it is used actually within watersheds. And those who use water from the highlands are dependent on it because our state has decided to develop those areas. And those urban and exurban areas require water from someplace. We have industrial uses that have limited the ability of areas that are built out to use groundwater any longer because it's far too polluted. So they need to bring water in from other areas, and I think using the word taken out, assuming that people are taking water away from the highlands, is a wrong terminology, and it gives the impression that people are somehow stealing something that isn't theirs. Water belongs to the state, but it does not belong to individual landowners, it doesn't even belong to us. It belongs to everybody for common use for the public good.
I want you to look at this. I don't want to get it. So show me where it says take, because I don't remember. I don't recall.
You did. You said, I wrote it down. You said that the water is being taken out of the highlands.
Does the resolution say take?
I don't know. You used the term.
Right. Shame on me. I take water from my town
from
the highlands. That's I don't take it, I use it. So
then you're going to take it, you're going to take it back.
I've said the word, yes.
Anything else, Ms. Coventry?
A couple other things, yes. What is the economic impact going to be on the people who are the water users? And I know if you're talking about it going to Trenton, talking about it going through the governor, but I think that we need to be fair and think about, if we're talking about equity, we're talking about equity for the common good, for everybody. These are people, in many instances, who are dependent on water and don't have any choice. They're going to have to pay this tax. We're making a choice to impose on the public, who are not used to paying this fee, a fee that they never paid before. So I think it's a very serious step that we're taking. I'm not opposed necessarily to a fee. I'm saying that we need to consider that, and you're probably going to say they're going to require an economic analysis at the legislative level. Perhaps we should do that economic analysis in order to find out what is the impact going to be on people who maybe have difficulty paying their bills now for their water. They're dependent on this, and now we're going to make them pay more for it.
If I may, that's a fair point, a very fair point, one that we were all very cognizant of. I mean, you're talking to somebody who does not raise taxes, runs on having cut taxes.
You're raising taxes now.
I'm not recommending a tax rate. So, yes, we're very cognizant of that. No, we did not expend staff time to do a full-blown economic analysis to what this impact would be. But that was very much in our mind, which is why we kept it to just those few dollars per quarter on a homeowner. So, as a percentage of their water bill, it is two or three or four. It's that ballpark. It's small. And yes, it's a hardship, and yes, I'm glad to hear you say that the residents of this state are overtaxed. It's a great thing for Democrats to admit, Tracy, thank you.
That they're paying amount for water that they're used to paying, and now they're going to have to pay more for their water. That's what I'm saying.
Only if,
I never said anybody's overtaxed, don't put words in my mouth.
I just had a little fun, so we have a good time, and so we can discuss this, Tracy. One of the reasons why we have the tax imposed on the water purveyors is just for that reason. And your Democrat colleagues on the committee were very concerned about not charging the residents, but rather charging the big bad water utilities. They're worse not buying. So when you attach the purveyor to the water authority, to the utility, it then becomes an issue for the BOP whether or not to allow them to increase their rates or not. So we are hopeful that this will be diluted. I know, Tracy.
Washing your hands.
I understand that.
It's sort of like the act, I would just wash their hands.
But again, it's an effort to be cognizant of that concern. What's next?
Okay. The language of mitigating negative impacts, acting as if in the act that the reason that the analysis was supposed to be done and that land was supposed to be conserved was solely in order to make up for lost property value and just compensation is just wrong. That's not what the Act says. If you look at the Act, and
where do you see that in the resolution?
It says under whereas the Highlands Act provides several mechanisms
that seek to
mitigate negative impacts on property owners.
Okay.
So can you show me the exact those terms in the Highlands Act? I went through the Act just out of curiosity myself, and I did search words on some of these words, and I did not find the word equity. I didn't find mitigate negative impacts. I didn't find taking. And to say that this is in the spirit of a taking, but it's not really a taking.
Those are my words, yes.
Totally. But that really shows what you're trying to say here. And that is totally off base.
I think we'd like to move on. I would just
like to say that what that is in the Act, farmland preservation, resource conservation, economic viability of agriculture, that's what these funds are supposed to be used for. They're supposed to be used to protect these resources that we all share and to preserve farmland and try to provide an economically viable agricultural sector. And that is very clear in the Act. It's not talking about this language that is filled in this resolution about just compensation and lost property values being returned. So I think I have a big problem with the way it's written. Not necessarily against use, but it's not supposed to be to compensate people. It's supposed to be used in order to be able to protect our resources and preserve farmland and the agricultural way of life.
This is not just a territorial ranking, but I believe that.
Mike. Mr. Dressel?
Rob covered it.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Francis.
I got it.
Mike, go ahead.
Tracy, it's not what the statute's going to look like once the legislature gets under it, I'm sure. This is our recommendation that we should be doing something about it. It'll be, I believe the award will be very different if we're fortunate enough to have any action on it at all. So
well, this
I
is what I'm voting on, though. Okay, so that, well, that's the problem.
They can, but it's not going to look like that when it becomes an issue.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I certainly support the water user fee. I think it's time that the people who use the water from the highlands helps us preserve the land up here. I do have a few, as Tracy pointed out, there's some things that I think are negative or should be added. One that is towards the bottom of the first page where it says, whereas one of the principal reasons, and it says towards the end of it, in parentheses, in quotes, essential source of drinking water providing clean and plentiful drinking water for one half of the state's population. That was in 2004 when the act was initiated. But we should let the legislators know in this document that is now 70%. So we should put in parentheses, note, now 70%.
I will amend my motion to include and 70%.
Okay, but in parentheses, now 70%. This way they know what we're dealing with.
Is that a number that could be supported?
Yes.
It's in the
affordable water. And the next whereas, it does say, while implementation of the Highlands Act burdens property owners, I have to say that I'm in the middle of preservation zone. It doesn't burden me. And I think it probably the majority of people in the Highlands and in the preservation zone are not burdened. It should say burden some property owners.
I can live with that too, and amend my motion to include that language.
All right, and the last part, because some of this.
If you want, you can say
it. Okay, so some of the things I felt were a little bit negative, and the last one was in the earlier part of the resolution, we talked about affected landowners and affected property owners.
But
in the beginning, there's a couple of mentions, but at the end, towards the end, where it says, whereas number two, at the end of number two, it says, distribution of funds to burdened landowners be developed. I think it should be affected, because we use affected in the others, and I think that's a little negative.
I'll amend my motion to reflect that change as well.
That's not in a whereas, that's in the now therefore be resolved.
Right,
in the
right. Number two.
And what was the correction? Was
affected instead of harm.
I'll second that.
That's it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Olson?
Just in support of the need for us to further and advance policies that provide funding to impacted landowners, I did find an excerpt here in the Act, Tracy, that I think supports what we're doing.
Well, thank you.
So it's right at the beginning, C period 13:20-2, that the new regional planning approach and the more stringent environmental regulatory standards should be accompanied as a matter of wise public policy and fairness to property owners by a strong and significant commitment by the state to fund the acquisition of exceptional natural resource value lands, and that in the light of the various pressures now arrayed against the New Jersey Highlands, these new approaches should be implemented as soon as possible.
Well, that's very different than provide just compensation, very different than provide funding for compensation to landowners adversely impacted, very different than fund the acquisition of open space to compensate landowners for lost development potential, mitigate negative impacts. If there was only those words, I would consider it, but all of these other words are value-loaded words, and I don't agree with
that. Okay. Any other council comments before I open
the public? Jeff, I just want to say I really want to thank the committee, Rob and Mike Olin, Jim, for the work that they've done on this. We started at very different positions on this, and we came together as a unit and worked real hard for
all of
it.
Too.
What's that?
I was on it too. Yeah.
You have to be. But I'm really happy with what we have today. It's as good a document as we could get. When I first came here several years ago,
and I heard the story of the farmers in particular and what had happened to them. One of the things I really wanted to do was, you know, compensate them for their loss. I do believe it's a take of sorts. I think that, you know, almost everybody on this committee wanted to compensate them. And, you know, we may have had committees in the past that talked about it, but, you know, we actually did something. And now it's in the legislature's hands. Please, guys, talk to your legislators. Get them on board as sponsors. You know, make sure this passes, and we'll get you on.
Well said. That's the only reason I got on this committee is to help the property owners.
I'm going to open it up to the public. Anybody in the public? Yes, sir. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes or less.
Is there a microphone?
My name is Elliot Ruga. I'm the policy director for the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. And we do support a water user fee or a water tax, but there are some mischaracterizations of the Highlands Act in this resolution. There really is nothing in the Highlands Act that contemplates a universal loss of development rights that need to be compensated. There are provisions in the Highlands Act on a case-by-case basis to compensate for a taking and to provide compensation.
Tell me why Senator Smith talked about compensation.
I can't speak for Senator Smith.
Thank you.
I can speak about the language of the Act. And to claim that the in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th, whereas on page 1, that the Highlands Act quote, or the legislature declared its intent that the land use restrictions resulting from passage of the Highlands Act should be accompanied by, as a matter of public policy and, quote, fairness to property owners, yes, and by a strong commitment by the state to fund the acquisition of open space. It does not say, and to attempt to compensate landowners for lost development potential. You can't say that the Act says that. And yes, on an individual basis, you can take 2 points in time and determine what the development rights were then and what they are now. But on a mass basis, well, all that development could never occur because we have too much construction and not enough people to live there. So how can you compensate for that? There is a waiver provision where, if on an individual basis there is a case for a regulatory taking, you have to provide compensation. But I don't know of any instance where that has occurred, where someone has taken that, where that waiver has been approved. And the courts have not said there has been a taking that requires justification. So I don't think you can mischaracterize that this is what the Act says. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
I'm not going to stand up here and gush and thank this committee for this document because this document should have not have taken 10 years, nor should it really have required a lot of work. It's a no-brainer. And if you actually went back and listened to some of the public comments in 2005 and 2006 and 2007, you would have found everything in this resolution suggested by the landowners and other parties commenting before this committee back at a time when we were still trying to give you constructive suggestions and ideas. That was before we realized that was futile. Most of you weren't around back then, so you don't know this, except for Ms. Carlucci. Some questions. Why would you want a water user fee to sunset in 10 years? Will people stop drinking Highlands water in 10 years? Do you know whether the fee will generate the $6 billion required to compensate all landowners fairly and honestly in only 10 years? Why should a user fee have a shorter life than the time period that Highlanders had to wait to even see such a resolution drafted. Why shouldn't the water fee be used to purchase or ease non-Highlands lands that are water resource rich after, and only after, all Highlands landowners have been fairly compensated? Why would any reasonable and rational person sunset a user fee for a resource that is becoming more valuable day by day? Why should water ever be free? Ms. Carluccio, why should water, something as valuable as you think it is, ever be free? This committee has finally gotten something close to right here, and then you stupidly want to kill it with a sunset provision. I'd like to respond to Ms. Carluccio. It's little n, maybe little o, in the fifth or sixth page of the Act under the mandates of the Council, where the words just compensation are used to the owners of those properties. I can't quote it exactly, but it is there in the Act, in the mandates that are listed for this Council. I also ask the commenters, why in the world would the legislature have required a TDR program to be jump-started within 18 months of the passage of the Act? The Act actually says, do it before you do the RMP. If the legislature didn't contemplate just compensation, why would there be a TDR program in this Act at all if that wasn't clearly part of the goal? Additionally, I would like to express that I am deeply concerned about the lack of transparency in the Council's priority process. The priority ranking process for these HDCs, including all detail and each application's ranking calculation, must be disclosed. The vagueness that has been described to date does not pass a reasonable smell test. You need to have transparency, and you need to disclose how you are choosing who is first in line.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else in the public wish to be here? Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Wilma Fry. Senior Policy Manager for New Jersey Conservation Foundation. New Jersey Conservation Foundation would support what is implied by the title of the resolution, which is a water user fee that would be a dedicated source of funding for land conservation, which it would appear would be go to support the Council's open space and HDC purchase programs. We are, of course, in favor of more land preservation in the critical Highlands region and believe that it's essential to protect the water and the forest resources. However, in reading the body of the resolution, as some folks have already mentioned, there are errors in the whereases in their reference to the Highlands Act itself, and there are other statements that are partially or entirely inaccurate. And then, perhaps the most serious problem is that the action points in the Be It Resolved section do not indicate that the goal is to purchase lands in fee or dedicated conservation easements through the Highlands Open Space and HDCPP programs. Rather, the stated goal is to assist in compensating landowners whose future land use expectations have been impacted. Point two of the Be It Resolved also does not appear to support the stated goal of utilizing the water tax as a dedicated source of funding for land conservation, but instead recommends that the development of a, quote, means of distribution of funds to harmed landowners. It does not indicate that the purchase of their lands in fee or easement will be the means of distributing the funds. It leaves that open to interpretation and to possible other mechanisms. Therefore, we urge you to table this resolution at this time and rewrite it so that it is entirely clear that the funding would go to the open space and HDCPP programs only. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any
Anybody else in the public?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is David Pfeiffer. I'm Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. First of all, I want to suggest that if you want meaningful public comment, you've got to give us more than a day to read something as consequential as what you've produced here. It's been on the burner for over a year, and here it is, one day before the hearing. So please try to do a little better with that. And while I'm being a nanny nagger, please use your microphones. It was real tough to hear today. We have always, our organization has always supported the concept of user fee when it comes to water for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's a way to adjust the difference between price and value of water. We know that we're not paying as much as the true value of water would indicate we might. Another reason is that if you look at it sort of like a sin tax, like you put on cigarettes, if you tax something, perhaps there would be an incentive for conservation and more efficient use of water. All good things. I would have to agree with Wilma about the lack of specificity and the seeming misconception about various provisions of the Act, the RMP, and the DEP rules, as well as, how would I say this? You know, let me just tell a little. It's a little bit like a man who believes in unicorns seeing a mule wearing a party hat, and he thinks he saw one. So what you've got here is what I think is primarily a political statement. And it's not a planning document. It's a questionable fiscal document. And I urge you to get some expert advice on this and table it and rework it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Anybody else? Who's up?
George Stafford. I'm from Morton, New Jersey. The assumption here is that there has been a pervasive damage caused by the Highlands Act in the Highlands. And this compensation eliminates the real estate bubble. It didn't happen in the Highlands. It happened everywhere else. But we can't take that into account to find out what damage was done to landowners. Their land value went down. Land value went down to Cape May, went down to Ireland and Iceland.
Billable lots were lost.
Please. Order. Address the council, ma'am, please.
Thank you. You had a representation up here. Real estate building, real estate value has moved to eastern New Jersey. One of the reasons it has happened here is because during the period that this was going on, we had $4.50 a gallon gasoline. And people were filling up the SUV for $100 three or four times a week to drive to a job in eastern New Jersey. They sold their houses in the Highlands, and they're living in condominiums, maybe in the eastern Highlands, but in Jersey City and in Bayonne and Hoboken and various places there. How does that factor into the damage that was done? That wasn't caused by the Act. The real estate bubble, the recession wasn't caused by the Act. How do you make that factor? Or is it not just a factor? Another question I have is, who's going to pay this fee? Are the guys down in Cape May who are pulling water out of the Atlantic Ocean going to have to pay because water comes out of the Highlands? Is it only going to be people who get water from the Highlands? Morristown gets 100% of their water from the Highlands. Madison gets zero. Is that factored in? So I agree. This thing needs to be reworked. Yes, to preserve farmland and to preserve the areas where groundwater is recharged. Yes, let's go out and get the money, and let's go out and ask the people who receive water from the Highlands to contribute to that. But are we really going to ask the people in Camden and Salem County to chip in a few bucks to help the economy in northern New Jersey? How do you figure that? What happens if I have a well at my house? I get a break? Again, Dave said this, a grand political gesture. It makes some people happy. But a workable plan doesn't make the slightest bit of sense to me. So thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody
else in the
public
wish
to be heard? Yes, sir.
Hi, my name's Hank Clark. I'm a farmer. I've got a couple questions here. I think everybody had seen this here. Holstein Real Estate Advisory. It was put out for the Board of Freeholders in Warren County in 07, September 1. And this is a value that this is a professional person did this. It's an LLC, Real Estate Advisory Service. And he came up with $15 billion lost up in this area. So I don't understand how you can come up with $1.3 billion. It doesn't jive up to the scenario that this had. The other thing that bothers me is the sunset of this thing. This thing should go on forever because we, the property owners, are going to be still stuck with this thing. It's just like the act that passed where they charged the compensation from the companies for the open air or open land values, and that's going to go on forever. So I believe that 10 years is too short. We've already been 12 years with no equity. So I just, the other thing that bothers me is too, is when you go into this thing here and you say TDR programs and all that, How many builders have taken advantage of the TDR programs? I don't think there's been any. The only people that's done anything with is the council. So the synopsis that this guy did here, which blends into this thing, is there was nothing taken out of his scenario that led to raw land. This is what we've got, and it's all about housing and so forth and so on. Whether you can see on his chart, Hoboken, Jersey City, but I will give credit to the people that's done what they've done. It's the first thing that I can say that the council or this body, I know you weren't here in the beginning, but it's the first step, and I'd like to see and improve on it to make it endless, because we're living, I don't know how for how long, but we're still making the water for it. So, and it should be used that way. Thanks again, I appreciate it.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Bill Kimmler, Barrett and Headwaters. I'm glad I was here for the conversation today, because I have to tell you, to be honest, I learned a lot from the conversation here at the council. In reading the resolution last night, the resolution does not reflect the conversation I heard here today, or maybe it's vice versa. It reminds me of a question somebody asked me once. Do you know the difference between capitalism and socialism? In capitalism, people exploit other people. In socialism, it's just the opposite. So I've only got 3 minutes. Got to think about that later. But when I read the resolution last night, I couldn't tell in reading the resolution whether this was a bona fide effort to provide compensation for property rights or whether this was simply a handout to address the perception of aggrieved property owners. There's a lot of language In the resolution about expectations, perceptions, and potential, which are not compensable, Raritan Headwaters Association has supported a water use fee for at least 10 years that I know of, because that's how long I've been arguing in favor of one. I argued in favor of one in front of this body in the past, and I'll continue to argue for one. We will support a water use fee that is used to preserve open space where there is a willing seller, to preserve farms where there's a farmer willing to preserve his or her farm, and where it supports an existing TDR or HDC program like the council has here. We cannot support and will not support a handout based on expectations or perceptions. I'm a little disappointed that the committee either didn't take or didn't have the opportunity to spend some time with the stakeholders, and I mean the landowners and the environmental community both, because I think that there is a golden opportunity here. I'm serious about the benefits of a water use fee. I want you to imagine the value of someone like me and Hank Klump going down to Trenton together, sitting down with the legislators and say, you need to do this. And I can visualize a resolution that would do that. Unfortunately, this isn't it. The landowners have allies in the legislature. The environmental community has allies in the legislature. I think together we would have an opportunity to do something real. If this is something more than a grand political gesture, and I certainly hope that it is, I would ask the council to table this for this month, take some time to meet with some of the stakeholders, see if we can't redraft this resolution in a manner that everyone can support and have it be something other than just a piece of paper that goes down to Trenton. Because if you give me a resolution that we can support, I'll go down and fight for it. If you give me one that's nebulous, I'm not going to.
Thank you for your
comments. That's it. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public with me here? Yes, sir.
Yeah. Ed Wengren, New Jersey Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau also has long supported a water user fee for the Highlands region, particularly, and again, for compensation for the purchase of critical lands and resources. I think your proposal gets to that goal. The next step is the legislator taking action, and having something for them to take action on is a critical first step. We can support this moving forward, and then everybody coming together at the legislature to draft the bill. I don't think you guys need to get it perfect. I think you guys need to get the conversation started. I think this does that, and we support the resolution.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and I have a farm in Lebanon Township that I purchased in 1971. I'm still waiting to speculate on it. I have to commend the people who put the time in this resolution. I know it's well-meaning, and I think it's well-crafted. However, you're going to send it down to the rat hole of New Jersey. You're going to send it down to Trenton. You're going to send it down to where people in 2004 promised to show us the money. That would be Bob Smith when he said in the first public hearing on this act, we'll show you the money, in an attempt to shut up Senator Cardinale, who was raising issues on exactly this issue. And Smith is still there. So is McKeon. So is a whole bunch of other people, which indicate to me this act, this suggestion is going to go nowhere. So I want to commend you on your optimism, and I, for that reason, hope that this act this resolution is approved tonight. But I really don't have much hope for it. It's going down to one of the most corrupt state legislatures in the nation for action. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Council members? Any last comments?
Yeah, just, you know, it's kind of amazing to sit here and hear all the council members agree on something and see both sides of the aisles here agreeing. And it would be really good to have a resolution that we all agreed upon, and I am going to make a motion to table. I think that we need to look at this again and give Margaret some input. I spoke to her earlier today. I said that, you know, I came early to the meeting, and I sat in her office, and I said, I agree with the water user fee, but to me, the resolution sounded very negative towards the Highlands Act. And I picked out a few things here, but I think Bill came up with you know, some concrete ideas, and he said it's, we have a golden opportunity, and I think we do. So I make a motion to table.
I'll second that.
No need for second on the table.
No discussion, but yeah.
No discussion.
That cuts off all questions and discussion.
There is no discussion.
I'm going to make a comment, because I'd like to see this resolution move forward. I think there are some very good points. The legislature is the one that's going to put the final document together. And hopefully they're working with both sides of the aisle. By delaying and trying to amend and start micromanaging this to a point, that's what the committee did. The committee spent a lot of time on this. And Mr. Walton quickly amended some of the common sense changes to accommodate some of the council members here. But for us to start this process over again, because that's what we're doing. Starting this process over again, and I'm sure the committee members would stand, hopefully they agree with me, that this needs to start moving. It's, you know, we also heard 10 years. Nobody's done anything for 10 years, 12 years. So there needs
to be a process
for everyone that's jumped in the second motion. For everyone that's jumped in the second motion to table this, I get it. But you cannot let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And I confess, this does not go near as far as I want it to go either. But I am coming a long way to try to make something that up until about 10 minutes ago, everybody on this council, save perhaps one, agreed to. The fact that both sides in the audience had issues with it tells me we probably struck it just about right. So,
I have a question about problems.
I would ask that we not table this motion. We do it tonight and get rolling on other more productive activities for the council.
We are out of order. There is no discussion when you...
Can we have a ruling from our attorney on this? Because it seems like we're out of order.
Right now, we'll take a vote on the motion to table.
Councilmember Alston.
No.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
No.
Councilmember Francis.
No.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
No.
Councilmember Bowden.
No.
Councilmember Walton.
No.
Chairman Riley.
No. Only four votes, so the motion fails. We have a motion on the floor for...
I have another question on process, Mr. Chairman, for our attorney.
What part of the process? I'm sorry.
On the resolution itself. Just a question brought up by an insight brought up by Glenn LaFry. Attorney Mayor, does the title of the resolution spell out what we're actually doing, or is it the be it resolved? Because she pointed out that it's not clear, there's no statement in the be it resolved that says the money is to be used for conservation. So can you enlighten us on that, and should the be it resolves be changed to make it very clear this isn't a handout, but it's for conservation?
I'm not sure.
Or HGCC credits?
It's for none of that. It's for compensation.
Well, then why is the title wrong?
That's
what the title says. It's for dedicated source of funding for land conservation.
It should be compensation.
Can I express why I have a problem?
Please.
Because I haven't spoken of it. The only reason why I have a problem with it is compensation how? And I know what Trent was like, so do you, right? So they take money, it is not dedicated money. They're saying this is going to be a fee to the water companies. We're going to pay whom?
The money would be a fee imposed by the state. The revenue would accumulate to the state, and the state legislature would have to create a means of spending that money on compensation to landowners, whether that's through the agency credit program, whether that's through the open space acquisition program, whether that's through simply a check based upon the loss at the time of the act, that we don't get into. Specifically because we're simply talking about generating the revenue to provide the compensation, not necessarily mean the compensation. If there's somebody who would like to chair a compensation committee for your work, I think that'd be a wonderful thing that you can tackle.
Your money, yes.
And talk about the second half of this, but we want to get to the first half, which is generating the revenue to provide the funding.
Well, as I read the act here, under the powers, duties, and responsibilities of the council, 13:20-6N, to identify and designate in the regional master plan special areas in the preservation area within which development shall not occur in order to protect water resources and environmentally sensitive lands, while recognizing the need to provide just compensation to the owners of those lands when appropriate, whether through acquisition, transfer of development right programs, or other means or strategies. So our powers are very broad.
It makes it very clear that the money has to be used for conservation or preservation.
Or other means.
For handing out.
Or other means, which we are leaving up to the legislature.
It's a violation of the Highlands Act.
It is the Highlands Act.
And then again in O, immediately after that, to identify any lands in which the public acquisition of a fee simple or lesser interest therein is necessary or desirable in order to ensure the preservation thereof or to provide sites for public recreation, as well as any lands the beneficial use of which are so adversely affected by the restrictions imposed pursuant to this act as to require a guarantee of just compensation therefore. Okay,
I think everybody's made their opinion quite clear at this point in time. I'm calling roll call.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yep.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
I have to abstain right now because I just have more questions than that answer again. Sorry.
Councilmember Richko.
No.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Councilmember Riley.
Yes. That's 8 votes. It's passed.
To finish my report as the subcommittee chair, if I may.
You have water.
Excuse me?
You have water.
I do. Are we moving on? Can I finish my report?
Yes.
I too want to thank staff. I was not easy to deal with. We were not easy to deal with. We got a lot of dragged down arguments about this. Very heated discussions, very passionate discussion, because we all care very much about these issues from all perspectives of this. So thank you to staff, to our attorney for the state, who gave a ratchet of to on more occasions than I can count. But to our staff and the Lions Council as well, and to Chairman Riley and to my fellow member of the committee, this was a real bipartisan effort, and I think we got to a real good proposal despite the objections from some folks in the audience tonight. The next step is we have looked at the TDR program, and I don't see how it's going to work. And of course, I could have said that when the act passed, because you look at it without mandating receiving zones, you wonder how on earth is this going to work. And sure enough, here we are 10 years later, and it's not working. At some point, we need to, as a council, in my mind, recognize that formally and tell Trenton that this thing just doesn't work. And we also, I know it, there's one of the things that came out of this committee was sort of the consensus that this thing just isn't working. It's not a good, it's not structurally sound. It's like building a building without a foundation, and this is going to work. So that's the next task, I think, for our committee for continue to meet and also look at these TDR program, or the credit programs and the open space programs. So again, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, as I said before the meeting, I'm going to have to excuse myself.
I know we have two members that have to leave. If you have to leave, you have to leave. I want to get through the rest of this business. We have three. We have to pass a couple of these things. I think we can get through really quick.
Okay. So that's the audit committee, one area where Tracy and I will wholeheartedly agree. Tracy's audit recommendation. Tracy's audit recommendation committee recommended the auditor to us. We've concurred, so we recommend we move the resolution. I move the resolution to approve the auditor.
I'll second that.
This is a public
comment period. If you want to speak on it, please raise your hand. See you. Yes, ma'am.
I request that the audit include detail regarding how many persons on the council's payroll will receive government-guaranteed pensions for work laser-focused on denying Highlands landowners their savings and retirement nest egg stored in their land equity.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Seeing none, any council members? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Ryan.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Next item is budget and finance. Mr. Holtaway.
We have the same boring story we had last year. Our budget is the same. The line items are essentially the same. We've had some shifts. How much? I know that. Wait a minute. $2,471,937. We do have carryover from last year. That carryover of $200,000 is going into the RMP budget. We've had this carryover in years before. That is overhead. That is space we have in our budget in the event that something unexpected happens. But total's the same. One of the things that I do have to comment on is that there's no staff budgets again. This is a factor with Treasury. It is long-term going to affect our ability to obtain and retain employees. But other than the budgets, the operating budget is flat.
So that he, we get a motion on the budget?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we adopt the budget for fiscal year 2017.
Second. Or motion and second. So Mr. James, anybody in the public wishes to be heard on this, please raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
Commenting on the irony of a $1.8 million payroll funded by taxpayer dollars to pay a staff who qualify for government-guaranteed pensions for work that ensures the harmed Highlands landowners lose their retirement savings stored in their land, who, with a meaningful, spirited, gleeful glint, advised that accepting 25 cents on the dollar for land losses is voluntary, who argue that just compensation is not a goal of this council, who are fulfilling private agendas on government dole, and who, after a decade on the job, have not been able to get the job done. The job of fulfilling the Highlands mandate to treat Highlands harmed landowners fairly with just compensation.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, council members?
I just have to say what I've said the last 2 years, this budget reflects no increase in salaries for our staff. This is 9 years. So these people have not gotten a raise, not all of them. I know some people have been promoted. But if they have the same job, they haven't received a raise, and they've had to pay more money for their medical benefits. So I think that it's, in the private sector, in the other public, with schools, counties, towns, all the employees get some kind of raise, if it's 1%, 2%, but it's something. And 9 years, I think that's absolutely too long. I know that the governor will not allow it, but I think we should send a statement and say that we think it's wrong.
Any other comments?
I agree with that.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes. Vote yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
No.
Chairman Riley.
Sorry. Yes. Mr. Alford,
the capital fund is the money that we have allocated for the operation of the grants and everything else. The
budget is really an estimate of what towns we think will be doing planning and operations. So while we approve it, it's actually the money that's actually spent is a function of those applications that come in and where we anticipate work. So total revenues are $7,245,800, which is the total amount that's in the bucket. And that's a motion to approve that operating or capital fund.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution, please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Anybody on the council? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Dresta.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton. Chairman Riley.
Yes. The next item has been pulled from this meeting. I asked for some additional details. That takes us to other business. A resolution delegating authority to our executive director.
I'll make the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Please raise your hand. Seeing none. Any council comments?
Yes, I have a comment. I have not supported this in the past, and it has nothing to do with our executive director, or I have a lot of faith and trust in him to be highly professional. My concern is the items that the executive director is hereby delegated to carry out, and particularly I'd like to draw attention tonight to number 5, which is the adoption of any master plan, development regulation, or other regulation by local government unit in office plan performance, development applications submitted to and approved by local government units, and call-ups of local government unit approvals, and capital and other projects of state entities and local government units, and review issue permits and determinations. So I was watching the NJN TV news, and I saw that there was an approval in Clifton Township of an Exxon facility at the Exxon property there, and it's expanding up to 13 big storage vessels there, and also a substantial increase in the lab that's there. My concern is that I really think that the council should delve into the details of this. I am familiar with the lab where it presently is located in Paulsboro, New Jersey, and I know the kind of activity that goes on there, and I did look up in the newspaper for past articles, and I saw one that really minimized if they said it would be sort of like a gas station. I can't believe that. I'd like to see the numbers. I'd like to know if there's a traffic study done. I'd like to know about the offloading activity that would be going on, how often it would be going on, the activity at the site. Just one last thing. I am familiar with the wastewater that comes from that facility. I happen to have just done a review and comment on the permit application for the DRBC for the Paulsboro Refinery, which maintains an industrial treatment facility that accepts the flow from the lab. This is highly, it's a myriad of chemicals that comes out of the lab. And I want to know, where is this highly toxic wastewater going to go? How's it going to be treated? Maybe there's a unit there now. Will it have to be expanded? These are all questions that we decided out of the view of the council. I think it's a significant development project, and we should review it. I'd like to know if we can call it up right now, but it's an example of the lack of oversight by this council that I believe we should have on important development projects that can impact the water resources of the islands.
Can I ask who made that motion for this?
Ultimately.
And second.
And Member Francis.
Since we have some people leave, I'd like to see this pulled. People have been voting the second. Put it up for this meeting.
I'd like to point out that there was a letter from the Highlands Council staff approving this, and that was mentioned in the meeting.
So we'll hold this till December meeting. Next item is approval of the 2017 annual meeting schedule. Can I get a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion is second. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on our meeting schedule? Seeing none, any council members?
I'd like to see it. Time. Longer. People to talk.
Oh. We'll take it at 3 minutes.
About 4.
This is just a date. Any council comments? See a non-roll call, please.
Sorry about that.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Valtala.
Aye.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton. Chairman Riley.
Yes. We're now short of quorum. I'm still open to public session, but I'm not sure how we can do any further business after that. We're now to the public comment period. If you have any comments, please raise your hand.
We won't be able to close the meeting.
You'll stay. Thanks, Vice Chairman. Yes, sir. Yeah. In the back. In the back.
George Stafford. Are we on? George Stafford with the Highlands Coalition and a property owner in the borough of Wood.
Company in the bank.
The fiscal analysis in the presentation that the gentleman made earlier, there are a number of things in there that I found to be fantastic. I was in Morris County for a number of years, tax commissioner. I had to go to Rutgers and learn how to be a tax assessor. I never actually took the test and became a tax assessor because George Stafford's advertising agent and tax assessing thing just didn't seem to go together very well. But I'm very familiar with what goes on with local taxation. There was a remark somewhere along the line that they didn't have enough data to make the numbers make sense as far as property equalization is concerned. There's a huge amount, there's a fantastic amount of data. Every town in every county in the state of New Jersey goes over every piece of property every year, and the local assessor makes adjustments. That's passed on to the county tax board and the county tax administrator. That doesn't even bring into account the appeals process, which makes adjustments to the values. There's nothing more accurate. There's a time lag, but there's nothing more accurate, for particularly for trends, than property evaluation. That all goes down to Trenton, to the Department of Taxation. And all of that comes under the umbrella of the Department of Taxation. It's not some local guy that comes in. I mean, some of the small towns, you got an assessor that's there for, you know, 3 or 4 hours a week. But there's a full-time tax administrator. And I don't know if anybody talked to any of those guys. Did they look at the abstract ratables? I came here 2 years ago and did an analysis, a very boring job for me, on all the counties from 2004 to, I think it was 2012 at that point, or 2011 was probably the last year available. And that's not even in there. There's not even any consideration of that. We talked about jobs in the Highlands and the job market has changed. We talked about real estate and how the real estate market has changed. We didn't talk about income in the Highlands. Five counties in the Highlands, five out of the seven, are in the top 1% of household income in the country. In listening to that presentation, you would have thought that we were some province in Turkey that had been attacked by the Kurds. You know, it's not that way. And here we're going to go out with our bill, and we're going to say, please send all the money to up to our end of the state where you got the number 4 county in family income in the entire nation. Number 9 and number 10, number 20 is Sussex County, and Bergen is 30. Bergen has some urban areas that don't come up with much income, but if you're going to base the kind of compensation you're looking for on the fact that this is an economically devastated area, you're taking a silk purse and turning it into a sow's ear.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand.
Elliot Rubin, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Was the Jersey City resolution...
It was pulled.
It was pulled.
Yes.
Our organization is very interested in seeing a viable TDR program happen, and it was through Julia Summers and my discussions with Jersey City that they came to this table, and we see a lot of potential in a city that size with a great deal of development potential, and we sincerely hope this works for both the council and for Jersey City.
Should be on the next meeting. Thank you. Great. Thanks. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Yeah, put these on. Don't start it. Thanks for letting me speak here today. As always, my name's Hank Klump. I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area. I've had no equity for 12 years. The council has been telling me they are working hard to try to help me and others. Then I get the word that for months now, that there will be no Highlands meeting due to the lack of agenda items. Thanks. The taking of our property values with no compensation is an item for your agenda. And even if it were the only item on your agenda, there would have been a lot of discussion. In a 2012 U.S. Department Agriculture Census, in Hunterdon County, the average farm is 66 acres with a yearling earning of $16.21 per acre. You do the math. There are taxes, there's insurance, maintenance, and so on. Farmers need equity. I have gone to the Tewksbury Tax Office and asked the following. My 150 acres have been forced into the preservation area because of the Highlands Act. My land has no equity. I farm the land, so I pay farmland taxes. I'm not getting any younger. But what will happen when I no longer can farm my land? I cannot be expected to then pay real estate taxes on land that is undeveloped. What will be the taxes on my land? The answer the Tewksbury Tax Office gave me, we don't know how your Highlands Preservation property will be taxed when you no longer can farm it. Go ask the Highlands Council. They did this. Guess they will have to fix it. So go ask them. Maybe this is an item that could have been addressed during the months that you had no items on your agenda. I got one other little thing here to add on that. And it's a P.S. Have you ever thought about tax issues on forced preservation land? That an old farmer can no longer farm, but the land cannot be built on. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you for your comments.
All right.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Deborah Post. I've read the Land Equity Committee report dated September 9th, 2016. Council Member Dressler's concerns alluded to on the second page of that memorandum are obfuscated. The memorandum avoids recording the specific content and goal of the resolution Member Dressler apparently had requested. The memorandum states that Member Dressler's request is not being honored because Council responds that there is no direction to proceed with the resolution preparation. Sure sounds like someone is stonewalling Councilman Dressler's efforts to move fair compensation forward. The memorandum states that there was a discussion regarding whether there was a goal to compensate landowners. Seriously? Are you still not sure that the clear language of the Act and the direction to jumpstart a TDR program way back in 2005 does not mean that the landowners are to be compensated?
The elephant in the room that the memorandum drafter does not want to recognize is the 75% discount to real fair market value of the property losses. The discount used in the pricing the HDC, the discount that offers hardly a quarter on the dollar loss. The thought in this memorandum that there is any comparison possible to other TDR programs which had freely traded open and active markets is one great big fat lie. The Highlands HDC program is a classic example of a rigged system with rigged pricing run by overempowered bureaucrats with private agendas. We do not like government that lies, and we will not tolerate government that is rigged. Just compensation must be fair and honest and 100% complete. Finally, the statement in this memorandum, and repeated frequently by many, that the TDR program is voluntary, is offensive, demeaning, and contains that glimpse of glee at others' pain by those who utter it. There is not one Highlands landowner who donated their net worth in the Highlands Act. There is nothing voluntary about the Highlands Act. The Highlands Act financially raped Highlands landowners. Just because you think we have been dishonored is not an excuse to rape us again. Government bureaucrats with guaranteed government pensions paid for with landowner tax dollars should not engage in promoting gang financial rape of landowners' retirement equity savings. A just compensation program for a regulatory taking is not voluntary. Stop saying it.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and I bought my farm in 1971, and I'm still waiting to exploit it. And you're not giving me much of a chance to do it. And I wonder why the Jersey City resolution was pulled, because you've been doling out money to the Planning Guild for years now, $40,000 here, $40,000 there. And what has this bought you? I would like to know what the total amount of money that doled out to communities put into the pockets of planners to study TDR feasibilities, which to date have added up with zero TDRs being sold out of the bank. The bank is stuffed and can afford no more. The charade continues where you just make work for fellow bureaucrats, and your staff is a perfect example. They sit there and they churn paper, and they bring it out to other people who churn paper, and when it comes to TDR credits, the sum total is a lot of paper and zero TDR credits transferred. We have the Regional Plan Association, whose prejudices are well known to me, who hired this PlaceWorks group out of California. I would like to know what that subcontract looks like, because the work that they're cranking out is pathetic. It's pathetic. They raise an issue about they have insufficient land sales to do this and to do that, without even asking the question as to why there's insufficient land sales. They don't even have the curiosity of a two-year-old. They will simply look at their contract with RPA and say, well, it's not in our contract. This game continues, and there's a whole bunch of people sitting right here, and I'm looking at them, who benefit right now from state pensions. You're getting them every month. I know it. And there's a whole bunch sitting over there who look forward to getting them every month. And I know that too. This is a game of which we are nothing more than the pawns.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody up to the public wish to be heard on any issue, please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Go through it. Mr. Attorneys?
Necessity. We've got to close the meeting. So.
Okay. Get a motion to adjourn.
Get a motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.